Harper Audio presents How to Be a Woman by Catlin Moran. Read by the author.
Prologue. The worst birthday ever. Wolverhampton, 5th of April, 1988. Here I am on my 13th birthday. I am running. I am running from the yobs. Boy! Gippo! Boy! I'm running from the yobs in the playground by our house. It is a typical playground of Britain in the late 80s. There's no such thing as safety surfaces, ergonomic design, or indeed slats on the benches. Everything's made of concrete, broken Corona pop bottles, and weeds. As I run, I'm totally alone. I can feel the breath in my throat catching like sick. I've seen nature documentaries like this before. I can see what's happening here. My role, clearly, is that of weak antelope, separated from the pack. The yobs are the lions. I know this never really ends well for the antelope. Soon, my role will turn into a new one, that of lunch. Yippikey! I'm wearing Wellington boots, NHS glasses that make me look like Alan Bennett, and my dad's withnail-style army coat. I do not, I admit, look very feminine. Diana, Princess of Wales, is feminine. Kylie Minogue is feminine. I am feminine. So I understand the yob's confusion. They do not look as if they have dabbled much in either A, the iconography of the counterculture, or B, the inspirational imagery of radical gender benders. I imagine they were confused by both Annie Lennox and Boy George when they appeared on Top of the Pops. If they weren't so busy chasing me, I would probably say something to this effect. Maybe I would tell them that I have read The Well of Loneliness by famous trouser-wearing lesbian Radcliffe Hall, and that they need to open their minds to alternative modes of dress. Perhaps I would mention Chrissy Hynde, too. She wears masculine tailoring. And Karen Franklin on the clothes show, and she seems lovely. Yippikey! The yobs stop for a moment and appear to confer. I slow to a trot, lean against a tree and hyperventilate wildly. I am knackered. At 13 stone, I'm not really built for hot pursuit. I'm less Zola Budd and more Elmer Fudd. As I catch my breath, I reflect on my situation. It would be amazing, I think, if I had a pet dog. A well-trained German shepherd who would attack these boys, almost brutally. An animal really in tune with the fear and apprehension of its owner. I observe my pet German shepherd, Saffron, 200 yards away. She is joyfully rolling in a slick of fox shit and waving her legs in the air with joy. The dog looks so happy. Today is working out really well for it. This is a much longer and faster walk than usual. Although today is obviously not working out very well for me, I am nonetheless surprised when, having finished their tete-a-tete, the yobs pause for a minute and then start throwing stones at me. That seems a bit extreme, I think. I start running again. You don't have to go to this bother to oppress me, I think, indignantly. I was already pretty subjugated. Honestly, you had me at pikey. Only a few of the stones actually hit me, and, obviously, they don't hurt. This coat has been through war, possibly two. Pebbles are nothing. This was built for grenades. But it's the thought that counts. All this time spent on me, when they could be engaging in other, more worthwhile pursuits, like abusing solvents and fingering girls who are actually dressed as girls. As if reading my mind, after a minute or so, the yobs begin to lose interest in me. It looks like I'm yesterday's antelope now. I'm still running, but they're just standing still, throwing the occasional rock in my direction in an almost leisurely way until I'm out of range. They don't stop shouting, however. "You bloke!" the biggest yob shouts, as a final thought at my departing back. "You bummer!" I get home and cry on the doorstep. It's honestly too crowded to cry in the house. I've tried crying in the house before. You explain why you're crying to one person between the sobs, and then you're only halfway through before someone else comes in and needs to hear the story from the top again. And before you know it, you've told the worst bit 6 times and wound yourself up into such an hysterical state that you've got hiccups for the rest of the afternoon. When you live in a small house with 5 younger siblings, it's actually far more sensible, and much quicker, to cry alone. I look at the dog. If you were a good and faithful hound, you'd drink the tears from my face, I think. Saffron noisily licks her vagina instead. Saffron is our new dog, the stupid new dog. She's also a dodgy dog. My dad procured her in one of the deals he periodically conducts at the Hollybush pub, which involves us sitting outside in the van for 2 hours while he occasionally brings us crisps or a bottle of Coke. At some point, he'll suddenly come bowling out at a very rapid lick, carrying something incongruous like a bag of gravel or a statue of a concrete fox with no head. "It's gone a bit serious in there," he would say, before gunning off at top speed, pissed. On one occasion, the incongruous thing he came out carrying was Saffron, a one-year-old German shepherd. "She used to be a police dog," he said proudly, putting her in the back of the van with us, where she promptly shat all over everything.